Danny.
Am I on? Good, praise God. Well, it's very excited to share. I've been preparing a few weeks, and it's to me like cooking a meal. You know, you want to make some a good dinner, and I think I cooked way too much probably, but I want to thank Tim for last week's message. It did cause me a little hurt ribs, because when you talked about temper tantrums, and then Romy gave me a good one, and then the next one about competition, I got a double. So if Mark, if he preaches next time, can you let me know, and I'll put some wrapping in. So it's so good to be here, you know. This morning, Romy shared a scripture in Matthew about that a man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks, that comes out of the mouth of God. And I really felt, it really hit me. The message for today, the title of the message is Sending God's Word into Your Future. And I know all of you in some ways are doing it. It starts when you get born again and you confess Jesus is Lord, and that word you speak and the faith you release is sent into your future for all eternity. But I want to talk more about too, also in daily life, in our daily affairs. And I sense the Lord spoke to me about really things shifting in some of you, like, you know, that things will be replaced, oppression lifting, depression going, and freedom coming. And so I hope and I pray that God will give us tools. And all of us, we want to come to the next level. You know, we, like, I think, you know, years ago, like, in our marriage, I felt I had a good marriage many years ago, let's say. And you know, I had a bed, I had good food, the clothes were washed, and Romy looked after the kids. And well, life was good, the marriage was great. And I didn't realize that Romy was ready to leave me, because just her, you know. And so as man, we can be so ignorant. And I think in our spiritual walk sometimes, we sometimes don't see the possibilities. And as we graciously, through God's grace, work through some of that stuff, our relationship has just become so sweet and special. And I pray for all of you that somehow today, the tools that the Lord will give us or will show us, that it would somehow just freshen up our walk with the Lord and just bring us to a new level of experiencing His life in our life. Because even He says that we live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So if we don't have a fresh word of the Lord in our life, then somehow we will lack the divine life. See, he who seeks to keep his own life will lose it. But if we let go of our own life and we open our heart to the word of God on a daily basis, it will enrich our life, and the divine life of God will flow into our life. So can we start with the first scripture in Genesis 1? And or it's verse 2 and 3. And I just read it maybe. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And I just want to paint this picture of God was there, and the Spirit hovered over the water, but it was great darkness. Nothing happened until God spoke. And so when God spoke, it was the word Jesus released. And when the three came together, God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, the Word, Jesus, the Word, and the Spirit, boom, and light was. And I'd like you to frame that picture in your mind. And because it's somehow the spoken word, when I was meditating on it, I just thinking, you know, we are to be imitators of God the Father. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. And I think in our life, a lot of times there is darkness. And it's not because God created it. Jesus says in this world there will be trouble. You will have trouble. You will have hard things coming your way. But because we do not release God's promise, we don't speak God's word out of our mouth, nothing happens. And so that's one picture I'd like you to frame in your mind. And I'd like to go now to Romans. Romans 10, 6 to 11. And there, because when you accept that Jesus is Lord, when you understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you got born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And by believing, you know, and speaking that word. And so we read this, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So you believe in your heart unto righteousness. So I believe if you understand Jesus is Lord, you believe that in your heart, and you would die that very moment. You would go to heaven, even if you never confessed out loud. But then it says salvation, confession is made unto salvation. And I think religion, the Christian religion in the Western culture has done a great job of moving everything from salvation into the next stage, which is eternal life. And I really sense when I was preparing that the Lord wants us to be more aware of how the confession of Jesus, and see, I want to talk about confessing God's word, God's promise over your life. See, Jesus is the word that became flesh. Every promise that God spoke, every creative word God spoke, he released Jesus out of his mouth. When you take that promise and you declare it over your situation, confession is made unto salvation. And you know, we sometimes have to let go of all the abuse and all the, you know, like things happened in the past, maybe somebody that believed this kind of trick and it didn't work out for him, and then we kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. See, we don't understand everything. Like, you know, a good friend of mine, he died on cancer, and we talked about this. He really believed this, right? And I don't fully understand why healing didn't manifest. He confessed healing promises over his life, and nothing happened, right? And as I prayed about it, you know, there could be many reasons, and we will not understand it all. But one thing the Lord quickened to me the last few weeks is we were in our Bible study reading in Daniel. And Daniel, when he saw that captivity should be changed, he prayed and he identified with the people. He didn't confess his own sin because he almost looked blameless. He confessed the sins of his fathers. And I see in the Hebrew thinking, in the kingdom thinking, we are one. We are the body of Christ. And God is about to do something. He's about to bring a kingdom that cannot be shaken. He wants to make the bride, the body of Christ, without spot and wrinkle. And I really believe we have not seen anything yet. What's God about to do? And somehow what I've sensed is that, you know, when you speak God's promise, yes, it's maybe triggered by some discomfort in your life. Because it is not comforting when your kids are unruly. But then you go to the scriptures and says, oh, Isaiah 54, it says, my children will be taught by the Lord. And you speak that promise. And you hope, you believe it will affect, help your kids to come to know the Lord. But I really believe there's something bigger happening. those words will go over the whole body, because we are speaking those words in Jesus' name. And I think the same when it comes to other areas. You know, when you see, you're made in God's image. And just picture again, God speaking God's word, the word, like, let there be light. And Jesus came out of his mouth and light was. And the whole creation happened by God speaking. And now we are to imitate God as dearly beloved children. And we are here to establish a kingdom. And in Jesus' name, we release that word. And when we speak God's promise, when we speak the promises God made for restoration, whatever topic, whatever it is, often it's triggered by discomfort in our own life. But I really believe it has a prophetic impact on the big picture of the body of Christ being restored without spot and wrinkle. And the kingdom of God, remember the Lord's Prayer, it says, your will be done as it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. Right? And that is so huge. We are asking, is there any oppression in heaven? Is there bondage in heaven? No, there isn't, right? And so as it is in heaven, let it be here in earth. So that's a prophetic prayer. We are declaring something that is not yet, and we are calling it forward. And because we are children of the Most High God, he will use our words to create what we declare. In Matthew, Jesus made a statement that we will be judged by our own words. And see, when you gave your life to Jesus, Jesus took your judgment. He carried your sins. By his stripes you're healed, right? So you're restored innocent. You are made righteous. So the judgment Jesus speaks in that verse to us believers, I really believe it's in this life. See, if I just speak what I see in the natural, oh, I'm feeling terrible. Oh, I think I can't make it. And oh, there's too many bills. And those are the words that come out of my mouth. You are made in God's image. Your words are powerful. So I think it's time to cancel those words and say, you know what? God says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God says, I am more than an overcomer. God says that he is my provider. And see, when we start speaking God's word, then that will come to pass. So, let's go to the next verse, the next scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's a powerful verse when you think of it, that we are righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I heard a lot of times it said that, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Are you? Are you saved and made righteous, or are you still a sinner? And I think that is very, very important that we see the depth what Jesus did on the cross for us. If we want to learn to rule and reign in life, I think in Hebrew it talks about not to lose our confidence. Paul talks about that in several places, that the importance that we do not lose our confidence. And you know, we all struggle with issues, you know, and maybe get a nudge from our wife or somebody else that, you know, or a neighbor that nudges us and say, hey, this is wrong, right? And we have to grow in our actions. There is a lot of growth in my life that is needed. But you know, when I come to God, I can be bold because I come in the righteousness of Jesus. And whatever I ask, He will give. And that's so important to have a real concept of us being made righteous through the blood of Jesus. When you look at Galatians, where Paul talks about the law and grace, and you know, when you depend on your effort and on you being good, it's a deadly trap. But when I can clothe myself into His righteousness, then it gives me the boldness. And then when I am in a dilemma, I have a need in an area, I can boldly declare God's word, knowing that I am a child that's loved by God the Father. And whatever I ask, He will give me. And so if you struggle with thoughts of not measuring up, and you know, it's all, go back to those promises and just speak them out over your life. I am righteous. I trust in Jesus. I am a new creation. I remember years ago this first verse that we just had up there, that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, right? And then the voices or thoughts came, oh, you are not in Christ. And then I just said, Lord, I just surrender right now, right? And then I would use that verse to strengthen my confidence that I can actually trust God for my salvation, you know. And so whatever you're tormented or attacked, use God's word as a weapon. It's powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword, right? You know, the next thing is our heart is a garden. I just want to talk about quickly, because when you have a garden and you want to sow a seed and it may grow, and now just imagine there was maybe an oil spill or some chemicals. So the seed maybe would grow, but then once it starts going into the ground, and suddenly it withers and dies. And that's how our heart is like the soil of a garden, and God's word is the seed. And so when you meditate on God's word, when you go to the scriptures and you find the promises, a promise that would speak into your situation, and you go and you declare that over your life, you believe it in your heart, you speak it out of your mouth, and nothing happens. Of course, you know, the seed has to germinate and slowly a plant will grow. But sometimes there is contamination. Sometimes you have to dig up the soil and put new soil in. And I just want to encourage you, because so often we had bad experiences. We just felt it's not working at all. And I felt God's heart is really going out to you. You know, if you felt in the past, you really try to just be more disciplined in your Christian walk, but there is absolutely no richness coming in. See, it shouldn't be a striving. It shouldn't be a hard effort. The life of grace should be spontaneous relationship with Jesus. And every time you connect with Him, there should be new life flowing, right? But if our emotions, if we had bad experiences, and then our hearts, the soil in our heart is contaminated, right? Then sometimes we need help to get that soil changed. And so I want to just, as I felt God gave me this as a picture, that if it didn't work, if it seemed not to have worked, you know, go to God and go to a brother or sister. We had this awesome study group the last few years, and I had other men's group where we prayed, and I encourage you, you know, like there's some stuff in your life you cannot do alone. You need somebody to help you get that soil out and put new soil in. But you know, God wants to bring all of us to new levels of experiencing His goodness and His power. Let's go to the next scripture in Proverbs 4. It's one of my favorite verses, which they all are. You know, I thought of the Bible is to me like a supermarket. And when I go to the store, you know, sometimes some people, they don't like when you have favorite scriptures. But I eat potatoes 2 times a week and pasta 3 times and bread almost every day, right? Those are my favorite starchy foods. And chicken I really like too, but I don't eat alligator much or snakes or, you know, and that's in the scripture. You have all kinds of stuff, right? There is, you know, like Judas hung himself or there's a lot of scriptures that I'm not meditating on it. But then there's some scriptures, they are read in my Bible and the pages are almost worn out, and because I keep going back to it, because it just keeps feeding my spirit. And so this is one of those scriptures, let's read it. My son, give attention to my word, incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And so here the heart, the soil, the potting ground for your seed. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. There's a verse Paul says that we are changed by the renewing of our mind. When you learn to think different about who you are in God and who God is in you, then suddenly your life will change effortless. I had issues in my life. I struggled for years and years. And I don't know why, suddenly from one moment to the other, boom, it fell off. But I kept going to the Word. Right? I kept renewing my mind, learning to think the way God thinks. And all of a sudden, boom, it was gone. And that's what it, that's why he says, pay attention to my word, my son. Now, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, the word was more referred to the law, rules, regulations, don't do this, don't do that. And God gave the law to show us that we can never keep it. In the New Covenant, the law is now put into our heart. He has written it in our heart. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. See, I'm not teaching you. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit, hopefully, to trigger something in you. And hopefully you leave with lots of unanswered questions. And then you go home and you start asking the Holy Spirit questions. And you start pondering through the scriptures. And you start digging in. So I don't want you to leave here, oh, it's all good and well. No, I want you to be stirred up and a little bit upset maybe for what I said. That's okay, right? But in the New Covenant, there is it's a different set of rules. It's a covenant of promise. And I believe that's why I have a right to speak about the importance of releasing God's promise into your life. Because that word, what it says, can you bring the first verse up again? The Proverbs. The second one, 21, I think. Keep them in the midst of your heart, now 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. It's interesting, isn't it? They are life, you know, eternal life, of course. That's the biggie. But why does it say to all their flesh? That's not the flesh is evil. It's life, hell to the flesh. You know, as I prepared last week, I went to Google. Whenever I want to look at scripture, I just Google it, and it's much faster than the concordance. Google knows it all. And then a guy came up, a doctor who knew Hebrew and Latin, theologian, a godly man in the Western church. And he had a long thing about one of the verses, one of my pet thieves. And he took that verse apart. And to me, that verse is a rock I'm standing on. And it helped me to overcome in so many areas in practical life. It showed me my rights that I have eternal life, but it also showed me how to stand in daily life. And he took that verse apart and moved everything into the future for eternal life. And to me, when as I was reading it, I got a little mad, but it looked to me like he was grinding this rock into sand. And remember the story Jesus said about building your house on the rock. And when the storm of eternity comes, no, the storm of life, in this life, when the storm comes, because you're standing on the rock, you will not be moved. And I just felt, I felt intensity of the Spirit that we take the word and take it like a child. It's important to understand God's heart. It's important not to take scriptures out of context. There's a lot of things that are important, but that we take the scriptures and accept them as they are. We may not fully understand every detail, but that we don't grind them into sand, because you cannot build your house on sand. And so here it says, it will be held to your flesh. And I really believe it indicates daily life. It indicates your struggle with whatever it is. It indicates even your finances. God wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to rule and reign in life. And as you walk with Him, your heart is purged from greed. As you keep on giving and serving Him. And that doesn't mean He doesn't want you to have enough money to pay your bill. He really wants you, but use God's promise to overcome the situation in your life. You know, in Psalm 23, there's this neat saying that in the presence of my enemies, He prepares a table of good things. In heaven, we won't have enemies anymore. It's here on earth we have enemies. And so today, God wants to prepare a feast. And I just hope that you have enough to, I know like a lot of you have been doing this, but I pray that you would have a fresh revelation of your words coming out of your mouth, how powerful they are, and that you keep on speaking His word and connecting with Him who is the word. Because it's not mechanically doing something. Because that would be so sad. It's a relationship with the living Word. And, you know, faith does not come out of striving. It comes out of surrender. Surrendering to Him, the living Word, and allowing, in obedience to Him, stepping out in faith and speaking His promise over your life. Because you want to see His kingdom come and His will to be done. And if it doesn't show in your natural, in your life, keep doing it. I believe it has an effect on the whole body. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about the heroes of faith. And it says at the end, they all died and did not see what they believed for. But they are heroes of faith. I believe we are in the last days. I believe we will actually see what we believe for and what we declare. But even if I would never see anything, I could never stop speaking God's promise over my life. Because I believe this is what God wants me to do. And I believe it will affect generations to come. So let's just pray. Father God, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your promise. I thank You for eternal life that starts right now. And I ask, Father, that You meet every individual right now where they are, that You bring hope, that You bring freedom, that depressions would lift and oppression and bondage would break off in Jesus' name, Father. That You give us a new joy and a new courage, Lord, and a new hope, Father, where hopelessness came in. Jesus' name I pray.